The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with the University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the Department of Philosophy, busily doing problems from a book that I think is logic, but I don't have my glasses on, it's Professor Beth Oljar.
It is logic.
It is the logic. This is the regular logic class, the 1500.
Nope. This is symbolic.
Oh, symbolic.
Although you can use this text for either one.
Okay.
Either course.
That's right.
It covers all of it.
Professor Dan Maggio is here. He knows some stuff about logic.
A little bit. You should put their grade in some sort of logic statement so that they have to actually calculate their grade by following the logic.
I tell them that when I was an undergraduate, I got a C when I took this course.
Whoa.
So.
Did that make them feel good about?
Well, yeah, and now I teach it.
Because they can feel like they can make mistakes.
Yeah, and I know what it's like to have logic anxiety, and which is the same as math anxiety. I mean, it has to do with symbols, and I'm a way better teacher than the person that I had for logic.
Looks
who,
fun.
Who actually. Was the subject of an attempted assassination by one of his former students.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Yeah, that gives you some idea.
Wow. Okay.
Right.
Just so we're on the same page, if I remember things from the logic that I took here at UDM, anxiety is technically illogical, though, right?
Yes.
No,
yes.
Not to me.
Isn't? Oh, okay. All right.
I think anxiety is a rational response to any number of situations.
Got it. My teacher was Don Yarnovich, so we'll have to have a discussion.
But it's usually the result of bad teaching.
Okay.
Anybody
okay.
can learn this stuff as long as it's presented in small enough chunks, in the right way, with lots of examples. And
yeah.
Everybody can learn it.
And you actually did some, you do some mathematics in that class as
no.
well, right? Oh, you don't?
You don't have to be good at math to be able to do this. I'm living proof, literally.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
If you are good at math, it probably will come easier, right?
Okay.
Because you're more comfortable with A, artificial languages, and B, abstract thought. But it's certainly possible to do really well in it, even if you're not particularly good at math.
How about musicians?
Ah.
Should do well, too.
I
mean, the underlying
question.
Structure of music is mathematical, so.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Right?
Is it true that there's math in music, Professor Evans, from chemistry and biochemistry?
It's true.
It's all about Pythagoras. And
well, we also have on the phone, from the home office, the Western Front home office
like
of Ask the Professor.
The Western Division.
Professor Diane Manica, I'm sure. I just have this pretty much every time we talk to you, but see today, Diane? Is the coldest day since we've had you on the phone like this.
I know. It's just amazing to me.
But
what I wanted to share with you a couple things. I can't stand for the entire show, but
okay.
I had a couple things I wanted to share with everybody. First, UDM Titans came and played Arizona State University.
That's right.
On December 23rd, and my sister and another friend and I were in the audience. The worst loss that we had. All season.
When you were wearing your colors, I bet, Diane.
Yeah, it was too bad. But secondly, I wanted to share, I didn't share on the last show, my New Year's Eve plans here included a block party in Tempe, just outside of Phoenix, at night on one of the coldest days we'd had here.
Oh,
it rained all day. And it was in the 30s.
Oh,
but we went to the outdoor party. I had to go to Walgreens, and I had to buy a hat, and I had to buy gloves and a scarf.
Weren't they calling for snow, like perhaps a white, it was like a rainy New Year's Eve or something in Phoenix?
Not in Phoenix. They were talking about it up north in Flagstaff, which is about 2.5 hours north up in the mountains.
Well, I'm no
meteor. If I really want to see snow, I know where to go, but I don't want to see snow.
Yeah, and I'm no meteorologist, Diane, but 30 seems a little low for Scottsdale.
It was. It was just like the rest of the country. We were in a real, for about 2 weeks, we only had highs in the low 50s, mid-50s.
Wow.
But now we're above normal. I'm glad to say for me, 75 today. Oh,
we had a wonderful New Year's Eve, didn't we?
We did.
We did.
Oh, did you? Yeah, I heard your weather wasn't that bad.
It was really cold.
And we saw the Imitation Game.
Yep, we went and saw the Imitation
Game. Which
I have to tell you is really an outstanding movie.
It's
definitely worth going to. There's some surprises in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going to say, it's so cold out that I love it. I got to tell you why I like it cold, because curling, when it's cold out, makes much better ice on the inside. It's less humidity.
Yep.
And also just the cold on the outside, just it tends to make better faster. And last night, so this week's been great on the ice.
I'm going to say it's probably better crystals. What do you think, Kendra?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Although I got to tell you, inside the arena, it's 38 degrees, typically the air temperature, so it's actually warmer inside. Yeah, so yeah. You get inside and like, oh, it's warm in here.
We're looking at low 30s by the end of next week, so it's going to make what we're dealing with right now in the, you know, high fours to be, one for the dodo. Well, thanks for calling in, Diane. We always appreciate talking to you.
You're welcome, and have a great show, and I'll talk to you next time.
Be warm.
Oh, I will. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. We know it's so cold in the D, but if you stump the panel, you can win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can tweet at us using @AskTheProfUDM or #AskTheProfUDM on Twitter, or find us on Facebook. When last we left our heroes, we were tackling is an appropriate word to use, a set of questions written by our executive producer, Dr. Vivian Dix, chair of the Department of Communication Studies at UDM. And these questions were all about the NCAA. Right before Roy disappeared mysteriously from the studio, I had asked the question which U.S. president had basically instigated the formation of the NCAA. He said Teddy Roosevelt, and he was right. In 1905, Teddy Roosevelt called college representatives to the White House for a meeting, which, for the record, didn't make the NCAA, but ended up making the NCAA. What events motivated the president's action to call that meeting?
So some betting scandal?
It wasn't betting, but if you think about modern sensibility, you'll land on it very quickly.
Gender equality?
Academics?
It wasn't academics. It wasn't gender equality.
We didn't get that until
recruitment.
I think you need to go a little more base. And I don't mean negative. I just mean basic human instinct.
Safety.
Exercise. Safety. Sport.
Safety is the place to go. So how many players that previous season had died on the field during college football games?
Oh, football?
8. 19.
And 137 had near life life-ending injuries.
Oh, my.
So that is a concern. I'm going to put that in the concern box.
That's significant.
Yes. So now we just have people whose I'm allowed to get on my soapbox. Is that okay? Whose livelihoods are stolen for many decades to come.
Well, no. Now we're getting back there, right?
Exactly.
I mean, think of all the parents who will not let their kid. I wouldn't. If I had kids, I wouldn't let them play pee-woo football.
I wouldn't
let them play high school football.
I don't know if football is going to be around in 25 years. I guarantee this. It won't be around in the form it is today. That's for sure.
That brings us back to Sarcastaball.
Yeah.
Sarcastaball?
Please. South Park reference.
Oh.
I don't think I've seen that.
Is that
you should probably
trading jokes over a net?
It was about how to be safe in football, and the only way to be safe was to only sarcastically play football.
Oh, I love it. I haven't watched like the last few seasons.
It's the ultimate of sarcasm. It is actually the theme of the show.
Yep. I love it.
They have been super poignant on South Park with regard specifically to older NFL players and their concussions and their lack of faculties in their current state. Among the players injured during that season was Teddy Roosevelt's son, who played for what college?
Harvard.
Harvard, yes.
To Roosevelt, that's a good guess.
The Crimson. Originally in 1906, the organization was called the Intercollegiate Athletic Association of the United States. In what year did they rename to become the NCAA? The only reason you could possibly know this is, especially around basketball time, I think a few of us in here are basketball fans, you see it in the logo of the NCAA, the year.
1945.
No, it was actually very soon after 1906.
Oh, 1907.
1908?
It was 1910.
1910. Okay. Well, I could have guessed it wouldn't take that long.
The IAAUS. I just can't say IAAUS. I don't know.
They weren't thinking tournament yet.
They really were not thinking 64-team tournament yet. It's true. In 1929, the Carnegie Foundation issued a report alleging the NCAA was violating at least 4 of its own rules. Can you identify 2 of them? 1929, okay.
Betting.
Let's see here.
Paying actually, the athletes?
Yes. Number one was 7 players were receiving what were called, quote, subsidies.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Things haven't changed. How about grades?
I actually don't see anything academic here.
How about safety? I'm going to go back to why it was formed.
Nope. No safety here.
Let's pro see. And student at the same time?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to give it to you. Professional coaches in the off season were coaching for college, and that was also against the rules. They have to be amateur coaches as well. The other two were excessive publicity given to some players but not others, and recruiting of high school athletes, which apparently was illegal in the early days of the NCAA.
I was going to go back to recruitment.
Oh, well. In Sarcastaball, players find you. In 1952, the NCAA contracted with NBC to allow them to broadcast one college football game a week. Why did they limit NBC to only one game a week? This is a fundamental quantity of the reason why I believe, among the concussions, the safety, horrible videos of NFL players doing horrible, horrible things, this will be the reason that American football gets dismantled.
Nobody could bear to watch it.
You're really, really close. They thought that no one would go to the game if they put it on TV. It didn't, much to their delight. But suddenly, over the last 5 years, when you chart both NFL and NCAA, it's going down. Why bother with the tailgate and all the other fun when you can just sit in the glory of your own home and watch the Super Bowl, right?
There are some people that do prefer their fabulous televisions these days.
So you think that's going to be what finally does them in, that they'll lose the revenue stream of people going to the ballpark?
I just think that there is a tempo of the game and the Super Bowl itself that makes the NFL, as an example, made for TV. Baseball is not made for TV, you know?
Or what's going to happen is you have to pay to see it at home.
Right.
They're going to convert it all to, which is fine with me because I don't watch it anyway.
Right, but I think things like that are coming. I think that
so instead of paying $80 at the ballpark, you'll pay $50.
Well, that's the real reason. Nobody can afford it. Go see sporting events anymore.
I want to go to one Red Wings game a year. I figure I'm willing to pay $80 to $100 for one ticket once a year. That's about it.
What about the Tigers, though? They used to be like $8. I could go for $8. You can never go for under 20 anymore.
I think you can go for 12 or 15. It depends on what the opponent is. If it's a high-profile opponent.
Is that only those early midday games or whatever?
Sometimes it's a lunchtime game. Sometimes it's up in the sun seats. I've never paid more than 12 to go sit up there. But that's not desirable for some people, so.
I'll pay to sit anywhere.
Yes. Well, you can or you cannot. I think that the thing about it is, if we live in a world where the new celebrities are all internet celebrities, and maybe I'm like daring our listenership to come up with some questions about the new celebrity. I mean, there are people at home who put on a nice face and crack open a microphone and a CPU every day, and they make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. I think that there's new ways to make money. And the University of Michigan itself has, you need to buy a $600 license to be able to buy season tickets. And then they get your money again after that. I mean, how long can we be like this? It won't work, you know? It just won't work. Now they could charge even more because Jim Harbaugh is going to save everybody on the planet Earth, right? But again, my soapbox listeners, I apologize.
Aww.
Also in the 50s, the NCAA created a student athlete title. What problem were they trying to avoid?
Student-athlete type.
Another modern sensibility that they were able to avoid by using the word student-athlete.
Professional?
They were amateurs.
No, it actually had nothing to do with them being professional.
Did it have to do with them being students?
Being enrolled at the school?
Not students, not enrolled, no.
Not being paid?
If they were viewed from this perspective, they could get together.
Oh, union.
Yeah, they wanted to be called employees. But they
even
changed
back then.
The student
athlete.
Well,
they've lost that battle now
that's
at Northwestern,
really,
so
really
they can
sad.
Unionize. That's
yep.
sad?
No. It's sad because I believe that that will be another thing that dismantles the entire thing. Like, I know I agree with it. I just think that it hasn't caught on yet. And when it does, beyond Northwestern, things are going to get ugly. Name the school whose team has the following mascot name. Where the name is used by multiple schools, naming one will be sufficient. You should be able to name at least 4. Holy smokes. Holy. And not 4 for every mascot, but you'll get the feel here. There are 2 that are Spartans.
Michigan State.
Do you know the way to this state school?
Do you
San Jose State,
yes, is also the Spartans. Who are the Minutemen? That's kind of a sexist remark now that I think about it.
Some Northeastern
school.
New Hampshire.
Partial credit. It's the University of Massachusetts, okay. Actually, yes. Okay. The Cavaliers. And you must say it like Professor Jim Tubbs would if he was here.
North Carolina?
Is it UVA?
It's UVA. The University of Virginia.
Did he go to?
He did for graduate school.
Mm-hmm. Virginia. That's what he always says. Who are the Commodores? You guys should know the Commodores.
Band from the 70s. Group.
But the Commodores are also the mascot of what school?
Commodores. I didn't know they were mascot as well as a singing group?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Coastal school?
You know, I don't know where it's located, but it is a famous last name starting with V.
Is it Vanderbilt?
Vanderbilt.
Oh, no, that's in Nashville.
It's in Nashville. See? Yeah. My bad.
So what is a Commodore then?
I thought they were like
it's a naval rank.
Right?
It's a rank. Yeah.
So what does that have to do with Nashville?
Oh, okay.
I'm sure I don't know, although we'll check for navigable rivers while we take a break. And we're back with some great questions written by Dr. Vivian Dix, our executive producer, all about the NCAA, and we're wading through some interesting mascot questions. They used to be the Rainbow Warriors, but now they're just the Warriors.
Warriors.
Golden State. Oh, sorry, that's professional basketball.
Yeah.
This is the one where they pretty much have to pay you to come to them to play, whether it's basketball
Hawaii.
Or football. Yeah, the University of Hawaii. There's two major schools that are the Trojans. One, super obvious.
USC.
USC, definitely. And their horrible, horrible band riff that they play after every single play. It drives me crazy.
The Trojans.
Don't think too hard, because USC was only the semi-easy one. The other one is
Isn't
even
it in,
easier.
Isn't Michigan somewhere?
I don't think so. I think actually it's in New York. But what university is it?
Cornell.
The Trojans. Trojans.
Troy.
Troy University.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm pretty
obviously
sure.
Not U of D Mercy.
No, it's
not. I can't believe
we are, well, we are the Titans. We are the mighty.
I know who we are. I know.
I was thinking about that, too. I wondered if Diane was going to bring up having seen that game, because I know she must have gone. And I think the final score of that game, I mean, our men are not bad. They might be a little mediocre this year, but it was like 86-34. It was
we
not,
lost, I take it.
Horrible.
We did
I
not
thought
win.
She meant it was close and they lost the
buzzer.
No.
I thought that, too. No, well, that's
it
good.
Was
she
the worst, as in
on that
greatest
show.
Magnitude by
oh,
absolute
boy.
Value.
Okay.
Yeah. Who, kind of a questionable nickname, but it lives nonetheless. The Rebels. There's two.
I feel like I know one of these.
Mm-hmm. If you were a fan of college basketball in the 80s, then you know about the bald coach who always sucked on a towel while he was coaching the team. And they won the national championship but a couple years in a row, or at least challenged
the
for
Bruins?
It.
The Bruins?
Nope, the Rebels we're talking about here.
Oh, the thank you. Who won in the 80s?
Southern team.
Well, definitely Southern team. I mean, I'm surprised you guys haven't gravitated to the original one, the Rebels. The last NCAA-sponsored team that integrated in any way was this university.
Duke.
Not Duke. University of Mississippi.
Oh,
that's the Rebels.
True.
But the one I was thinking of with the bald coach who sucked on a towel was UNLV, Nevada, Las Vegas. Won a lot of men's basketball.
What was that coach's name?
Jerry Tarkanian.
Yeah, I can actually picture him.
Mm-hmm. It just was a very interesting figure to see on TV. How about the Raiders?
Oh.
For the record, one of them are Red Raiders and the other are Blue Raiders. But they're both Raiders.
Never heard of them.
How about Lubbock? What universities in Lubbock?
Texas.
A&M.
Texas Tech.
Oh, I should have known
and
that.
And from your neck of the woods in Tennessee, who are the Blue Raiders?
Gosh, I don't know. Oh, Middle Tennessee.
Middle
State?
Tennessee, okay. Yes. Middle Tennessee State. Excellent. Name the team nickname for each of the following schools. Who are Penn State?
Nittany Lion.
But where does the Nittany come from is the bonus question.
That's a good question, actually. I don't know.
You don't know?
Is it an abbreviation for something?
It is not.
Because that's an odd word.
Any good Big Ten fan should know where the Nittany comes from in Nittany Lions.
That would explain why I don't know it.
That's all right. She's a Pac-12 gal.
I do know somebody that wore a Nittany Lion outfit, or should I say costume, to a U of M ball game.
Oh, wow.
He didn't fare well.
I've got news about him, and it's not good.
It was not good news.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I've always been confused by what's going on in Penn State anyway. I mean, the name of the incorporated city where Penn State is located is State College, State Pennsylvania, College. Yeah. But everybody calls it Happy Valley, so I'm already, like, very confused. Mount Nittany is the highest Appalachian peak near State really? College, so they are the cats that roamed Mount Nittany.
Hmm.
The following schools' nicknames or mascots are named for weather. University of Miami, Florida.
Hurricanes.
Iowa State.
Tornadoes?
But they don't call themselves the Tornadoes.
Thunder.
Another word.
The Nados?
Storm?
Twisters?
Twister, tornado, starts with a C.
Clouds?
The cyclones.
Cyclones.
Cyclones. Oh, that's right.
And the weirdest part about that logo, I love these like little twists, no pun intended, of fate, nice. Especially when it comes to all those logos and the big dance. But the cyclones, it's a little tornado with a cardinal in the middle of it. And he's like, Cyclone, their mascot. I'm like, where did the cardinal come from? You guys are supposed to be tornadoes. I don't understand. The following have American native names. Central Michigan University.
Chippewas.
The Chips. Fire up Chips. Florida State University.
Seminoles.
And Utah.
Navajo.
The University of Utah?
Yeah, University
the
of
Arapaho
Utah.
Arapaho or Cheyenne.
Ute.
The Utes. The Utes.
What is that? Oh, I totally didn't think that. I should have said that first.
One of the most despised Indian tribes of the Western Plains.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There is a special hint. I would expect nothing less from Vivian Dix in explaining that last category. These colleges, for the record, are not on the NCAA list of places with hostile and abusive Native American names and mascots. Florida and Utah, as an example, Florida State and Utah have approval from the existing tribes. That's very, very different than, what else am I thinking? EMU used to be the Hurons, and there are no more Hurons left, so they had to abandon their mascot. And there was another one that had to change their name fairly recently, like in my lifetime.
College or professional?
It was college. It was college, yeah. Dear Profs, recently photographs of the current deteriorated state of the Pontiac Silverdome have circulated on the internet. This has prompted me to come up with 10 Silverdome-related questions for the Profs. The first 5 questions concern Super Bowl XVI. I'm sorry. 16, but relate to the event in the telecast rather than the game itself. The second 5 questions are more general questions related to events and other historical notes. 5 out of 10 is passing. Wow, I need you to be my grader. And I've added some extra notes here and there strictly for the sake of being over thorough. Andrew Wellman of Gulfport, Florida, 33703. Thanks a lot, Andrew. We appreciate the questions. And let me be the first to say, as a lifelong Detroiter who, and I'm embarrassed to say it out loud, but I will, have never actually been inside the Pontiac Silverdome, it is very horrible to drive by it on I-75 and see that it is deteriorating and realize that if you go on the internet right now, someone will sell it to you for about $22,000, which is just ludicrous. It's very, very
where is it located?
Emergency financial manager.
Pontiac.
I'm not sure about Pontiac.
It's,
yeah,
it's on Opdyke.
What's wrong with it?
It's in Opdyke and 75.
The inflated roof has collapsed.
But why don't they want
winter.
It? Why doesn't anybody want it?
Well, the Lions moved away to Ford Field, and that was
then
the end
that
of it.
Was it. Yeah. No use for it.
If my wife were here, she'd say she went to go see, as in watch, on a big screen, another Michael Jackson concert as a child at the Silverdome. Like, not to go to see Michael Jackson, but actually went to go see
Michael Jackson
telecast.
A telecast
at like the Hollywood Bowl or something. But that was the only time she ever went to the Silverdome. So
wow.
Super Bowl 16 was played at the Pontiac Silverdome on 24 January 1982. Before the game, and prior to the singing of the national anthem even, a moment of silence was observed. Why?
When was it?
1982.
This was,
January.
82. Yep. January 24th. You probably could figure this out thinking about the
Challenger
local history.
No, that was 86.
Not Challenger.
It was 86.
Mm-hmm. 86, 87, yeah.
It was made in support of people getting together, a pro-democracy trade union.
Was that in
Solidarity?
Poland?
Solidarity. Very good. Yes, Poland had declared martial law in an attempt to crush Solidarity.
I wrote an editorial on that for my high school newspaper.
Oh, that's cool.
And won a prize.
Good work.
That was, okay, I know it's a little bit before my time. I was in the second grade, so be gentle. That was Lech Walesa, right? Wasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. You were in the second grade in 1982?
Although the game was played indoors.
I was a sophomore if you round in high up. School. Where were you?
I was in the crib. I'm sorry.
You were.
In 82, I was a junior in high school.
Oh, okay. So we're about the same.
I think so.
Same age.
Although the game was played indoors, duh, Pontiac Silverdome, at a comfortable 72, conditions outside were very different. What was the high recorded in Pontiac, Michigan on 24 of January, 1982?
3 degrees.
It was not 3, but the low was 5.
So 13.
16, I'll give
so
it to you.
So very warm compared to today.
Yeah, exactly. About 10 degrees warmer.
Well, actually, not if you're standing in the Silverdome. It's probably
lot,
the
right?
same.
For that weather.
It's just crazy. 48 televised Super Bowls have been played since 1967. If one were to rank all 48 of those by their final Nielsen rating, what rank would Super Bowl 16 hold on this list?
I would say maybe...
I want you to be very careful. I'm not talking about an absolute value. I'm talking about the Nielsen, meaning it had the greatest share.
I would say 7th.
It's actually first.
It's first?
85 million, which of course falls very short of total viewership in more recent games, but it had a rock solid 50% of every television in the United States of America watching that game.
Wow.
It's the fourth highest Nielsen agglomeration for any broadcast of any time.
I was going to guess it was probably high. Or was the Silverdome one of the first domed?
It was one of the first domed stadiums.
So I kind of thought that would... Like make it high on this, but not. I never thought it would be
number one.
We're never number one, and the good thing. Well, now we are starting to become number one.
More. The program broadcast immediately following the Super Bowl is most heavily hyped during the game, of course, and is typically also one of the most watched broadcasts of the year. What show was put on right after Super Bowl 16? Hint: it was on CBS.
60 Minutes.
60 Minutes, indeed. In fact. 60 Minutes had been broadcast immediately after the Super Bowl 4 different times, more than any other show. I've tried to determine what story 60 Minutes broadcast that night, but all I've been able to determine is that the show included a piece by Andy Rooney in which he complained about the safety tops on household products 8 months in advance of the 1982 Tylenol product tampering murders. Very interesting.
Interesting.
8 months before?
Yeah.
I wonder if he was complaining for the safety or against the safety.
Well, whatever it is, our wonderful question giver, Andrew Wellman, ends this entry with, "Don't you hate that?" I loved Andy Rooney. He's a nice guy. Oh, we're going to have to think about Andy Rooney a little bit more after we say our goodbyes.
That was well-timed, though, right?
Oh,
we
yeah.
ended the questions pretty, right when the
pretty unbelievable. Rang. Very rarely happens. Professor Oljar, we've got to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Professor Maggio, you.
Goodbye.
Professor Evans.
Bye-bye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.